Now, I want you to have a listen to this song. I'd passed almost no remarks on it at all because I'm not a big Eurovision fan. However, I'm now going to stick my neck out and suggest that you're just about to hear a clip of the song that's going to win the Eurovision Song Contest.
We were drifting like two icebergs out on the ocean. I was doing all I could to keep you close. There were troubles in the water. You swore it was nothing. You said that we would always stay afloat. Why would true love look me in the eye and lie, lie? I thought we'd be together till we die. That I should know about. 'Cause there's a smile on your face that I haven't seen since we started going out. How could true love look me in the eye and lie, lie? I thought we'd be together till we die.
Apart from glancing at it on the screen the other night and passing no remarks whatsoever, that's my first proper listen to it. It's a lovely song. It really is a lovely song. It's a song about love, obviously a song about love, but that doesn't suit the Chinese. They see it as a song about gay love because the dancers are two men depicting a love between two men. Let me speak to John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project. John, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
John, chances are, as I say, you know, you can't beat a bit of controversy to get people to listen to a song more closely. And I wouldn't have given it an ear. I'll be honest with you. Eurovision doesn't ring my bell. But that song, excuse me, that song is a lovely, lovely song. Whether it's about love between a man and a woman or two men or two women, it doesn't matter. It's just a song about love. The fact that we've now got the controversy surrounding it with China banning it from being on their screens, and then the Broadcasting Union deciding that China's not going to see Eurovision as a result of it, totally shoots it into the limelight. It may end up winning.
Yeah, Frank, what we find is that Eurovision has a very core audience, but there's normally every year a story that gets other people to pay attention, whether it's Lorde, which is the heavy metal band who performed, or Conchita Wurst, who was the drag queen with a beard who performed. There's always something in Eurovision that causes those people who maybe wouldn't go out of their way to watch it to have a little looky-loo. And the other positive story, I suppose, for Ryan is that those stories that often cause the most interest or indeed the most controversy normally have a lot of success in the show as well. So normally, with your opening remarks that this is the winner of Eurovision, we would scoff at the idea of Ireland winning, but I think we're in with a real chance this year. It's a truly beautiful song and a truly beautiful performance as well.
You see, as I say, it's the first time I have listened to the words of the song. I've now, like millions of other people, will be giving it some attention because China has this incredible attitude to gay people. That is worrying, isn't it?
It is. I think the decision to not allow China to air was the correct decision to take. The reality is that we can't allow people to censor in this way. The Eurovision Song Contest has always been about diversity and inclusion. It's always been a highlight in the annual gay calendar, and it's always been heavily supported by the LGBT community. There will be bars and clubs right across Europe and indeed the world who will be packed this weekend with celebrants there to see the Eurovision Song Contest, to celebrate that as part of the community as well. So I think it was probably a very challenging decision for the EBU, but I certainly think it was the right decision. And we got to ask the question, where do you draw the line? If you take someone like Conchita Wurst, for example, would it be appropriate for someone airing the show to completely cut out that performance, a performance that went on to win the show because they didn't like the identity of Conchita Wurst, they didn't like the representation of queer culture? It just wouldn't be appropriate. So what I imagine was quite a difficult decision will hopefully work out to be the right decision.
In many countries, it is difficult for gay people to live their lives in the way they wish to. And, you know, you could argue that it's still difficult for some gay people in this part of the world. But it must be an incredible challenge in China. It's a reminder of how fearful gay people would be to express love to each other in in the greatest area of population that you can imagine on the planet.
Yeah, Frank, I mean, it's important that we always reflect that while there's never been a better time to be an LGBT person in the UK or Ireland or indeed most of Europe, that there are still parts of the world where you can be put to death for being an LGBT person. So it's important that we always remember that and don't allow our own successes, our own moves towards a truly equal society to take away from what's happening in other parts of the world as well. Even in the Eurovision Song Contest, you take a country like Russia, for example, who have very strict laws in terms of what they would call LGBT propaganda, who have always aired Eurovision, who've always been a big part of Eurovision as well. I think, you know, Eurovision is based in diversity and inclusion. When we look at an event like Eurovision, often these events are meant to challenge us, meant to challenge the way that we think, and also to expose us to different cultures and different identities. I think that's one of the huge strengths of Eurovision and why it has had such long-term success.
I know Pride's coming up relatively soon, in the first weekend in August, in this part of the world. This is part of the reason that people turn out for Pride. This is part of the reason that people want to be seen to walk and celebrate. We're getting a stark reminder today of how incredibly severe rules are in some parts of the world. What do you think should be done by governments? And I know, of course, that human rights in China are being questioned right, left and centre. But what should be done from a government level to lobby Chinese leaders to make them realise that that form of discrimination is unacceptable on this planet?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at Pride, it is one of the most aptly named events. There are so many parts of the world and so many people in the world who tell LGBT people that they should feel shame about who they are. And Pride is really the counterbalance, or counter opposite to that idea. It is about LGBT people having pride in who they are, pride in their community, and pride in their identity. And we look at a country like China, I think really we have to be looking at it from a human rights perspective. We must ensure that every state in the world is providing adequate protection to all its people, regardless of their identities, regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexual orientation. I think that needs to be the first stage. If we look anywhere in the world, that has been the first stage towards full acceptance of LGBT people. We need to be protected under the law. It needs to be safe for LGBT people to be visible, to be out in their workplace, to be out in their communities, to be out in their families. when people know an LGBT person, they're able to put aside the prejudice and the lies that exist around LGBT people, because they're able to humanize us as individuals. But when LGBT just exists as a concept without any visibility, without any identifying people, publicly identifying people, because of fear of discrimination, fear of prejudice, or indeed fear of legal action being taken against them, then we see an invisibility of LGBT people, which just allows prejudice to grow. So events like Pride are so important. It's so important that world leaders ensure that internationally, that regardless of identity, regardless of someone's ethnicity, their religion, their gender identity, their sexual orientation, that they should be protected by governments, and it should be a responsibility on all governments to ensure safety for all their people, whether they agree with them or not.
And what do you say to local people, those who'll be watching come the weekend, and there will be families listening to this programme at the moment who won't be agreeing with everything I'm saying on the radio, never mind with everything you're saying. And I'm talking about local people. I'm talking about people just down the road who will be watching Eurovision, and when Ryan's on and his male dancers are on and they're expressing some form of love to each other through the choreography of the dance, they'll be distracting family members from the screen. They'll be talking about the football match earlier in the day or something they saw out the window. They'll feel uncomfortable. What do you say to those people from Northern Ireland?
I think our world is changing. I think there are adults in our society who believe that this is new exposure to young people, to LGBT people and LGBT issues. But I think they need to open their eyes and need to look around them. If you look at a television show like Modern Family, for example, which I think has been running for 9 years now, the largest television show in the world, which prominently features a same-sex couple, you look like a show like X Factor, for example, where for many years, it must be said, LGBT people felt that they needed to remain invisible while part of that competition. And you look at recent years of someone like Sara Aalto from Iceland, who was there celebrating with her same-sex partner. I think LGBT couples, LGBT relationships and LGBT people are all around us, and we're only becoming more visible across so many different media. As well as that, we have to reflect upon the huge influence and huge impact LGBT people have had in music and media right across the world, and often that has been invisible. I think the reality is that that young people today are much more accepting and much more aware of same-sex attracted people and same-sex couples than any previous generation that we've had here in Northern Ireland. So I think the level of exposure that we have here means that a lot of people come to expect this, whether it's at Eurovision, whether it's in television shows, whether it's in the media more generally. But I think it's an opportunity to have a discussion. I think young people should have the opportunity to make their own decisions and their own views in how they see same-sex couples and how they see LGBT people. I think, indeed, there are many young people today, both LGBT young people and allies, who are educating their families, who are educating their grandparents, who are educating their parents and siblings about what it means to be LGBT, about their LGBT friends, and about the important role that we play within our society.
It's interesting, a couple of the texts here. Shut your gay mouth, Frank. We do not want to see this on family TV. That's from Mary. And Brian sends me a text. I'm turning you off. And in capital letters, he says, really sad. The Chinese have more sense than the land of saints and scholars. It's shameful, says Brian. That's Northern Ireland. That's not China. That's Northern Ireland, yeah. John.
Absolutely. I mean, if we look at the Republic of Ireland and we look at the substantial shift that we've seen, it was only in 1993 that same-sex relationships were decriminalised in the Republic of Ireland. Shift forward to 2015 to become the first country in the world to legalise same-sex relationships and same-sex marriage by popular vote. There has been a huge culture shift in the Republic of Ireland, and celebration of LGBT people and minority identities has become part of the culture, part of the fabric of the Republic of Ireland, and it's why I think it's so wonderful to see Ryan including the two dancers within his song in the Eurovision Song Contest. There will always be those who stand opposed to LGBT people. That is just the reality of where we live. But there has never been a better time to be LGBT. And even if we look at the most recent figures on same-sex marriage, and indeed not all those people who support LGBT people necessarily support same-sex marriage, 76% of the Northern Ireland population support its introduction. So while there will always be those voices voices who stand opposed, and indeed it's disappointing that they have to use such horrible language in their opposition to LGBT people. That is just a reality of the world that we have to face. It doesn't matter whether we talk about our largest populations, our Protestant communities and our Catholic communities, there will always be those people whose hearts are filled with hate. If we look at our minority communities, whether it's LGBT people, whether it's ethnic minority people, whether it's trans people, there will always be those people who stand opposed to those minority identities as well. I think, well, those of us who stand in celebration of diversity and celebration of inclusion, we must use our voices, we must speak out in support of those minority communities, but also celebrate those communities as well and the important role that they play within our society. Where would Northern Ireland be today if it wasn't for our ethnic minority populations, not least of all those who go in and work within our hospitals? Where would culture, art and media be today if it wasn't for LGBT people? I think we need to get away from the idea of asking people for tolerance, and as wider society, particularly those who stand in support of diversity and inclusion, we need to be promoting, we need to be celebrating diversity, we need to be celebrating the different roles that minority groups play within our society.
John, thank you very much indeed. You're unlikely to get a phone call or an invitation to be on Chinese radio today, but thank you very much. Thank you. John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project, 26 minutes past nine. Now, your opinions are very, very welcome on the programme. You can tell from the way I was talking to John, like where I stand on this Chinese ban on Ryan O'Shaughnessy's song in China. But I also raised it there with John that there will be some families right here, just down the street, who will be uncomfortable about it. Why on earth are we like this in 2018? If you have an opinion, do let us know. 0289033105. And do you think Ryan will now win Eurovision? On Frank's Friday Forecast Flutter later on, I'm going to choose him as the winner of Eurovision. You can't beat a bit of controversy, but alongside the controversy, you need a really good song. I've listened to the song there for the first time. It's a beautiful love song. That's a hit. That's a hit. And let's hope it is a Eurovision winner. And let's hope anyone who's in touch with China who's listening, you know, get your finger out of wherever you have it and please realise that equality is something everyone deserves. 0289033105. Your opinions, 0289033105. Just looking at some of the text, pretty detailed one here from Linda. She says, I will be honest with you, I did not know China was banning the song before you mentioned it. Now, I thought the song was slow, boring and lacking dynamics. And there's nothing dynamic about it, she says. Another plain, boring song with no substance. Typical now with the entrance in the Eurovision Song Contest. That's what they tend to be like. And she goes on to say, now that it has been hijacked and connected to homosexuality, it will win for all the wrong reasons. Gayjacked, and I mean that sincerely. Now the dramatists will elevate the song. Sometimes we listen to a song for the music, not the words. This will now not be the case. If no one had mentioned the two men dancing or homosexuality, the song was boring and bland and could not stand on its own. People will watch the Eurovision Song Contest now for the publicity of Ireland's entrant and not for the real reasons. People are so predictable, says Linda. There's some substance in what you're saying, Linda. People will be watching that wouldn't have watched. People will definitely be listening to the song who wouldn't have listened, including myself. I saw him on the TV the other night on a screen. It was on in a house I was in, and no one was passing any remarks on it. Somebody pointed, there's the Irish fella. But I didn't even notice the dancers, and I certainly wasn't drawn to the song. But when I listened to it as a love song there this morning when we played it in its entirety, suddenly it becomes a beautiful song. And that's why it might win, because it is a beautiful love song that I had passed absolutely no remarks on. And it is an incredibly controversial song now because it has been banned. And China have probably done them a massive favour. But is it winning for the wrong reasons if it does actually win? That's what you're suggesting, Linda, that it will win for the wrong reasons. Let me speak to Bill. Bill, what's your opinion on this, please?
Good morning, Frank. My opinion is, Frank, maybe that girl Linda's got a point, because if you look at the advertisement now on TV, you've got a drinks company advertising and now they've got a couple of girls kissing in it and a couple of blokes kissing in it, and you think, well, they want to sell it. they want to actually have a difference on it, then maybe they're bringing more advertisements for them and people will talk about it. But on the point where...
That ad shows how much we pass remarks on ads. I'm going to guess, I think it's for Smirnoff. It's certainly for a vodka.
Okay.
It's for a vodka. And they say something about labels are for bottles, not for people. And... you know, there's a really strong message in that advert about equality and about people no longer being marginalised. Surely that's the whole idea of where we should be in 2018, instead of people hiding in the shadows because of who they are.
Well, Frank, I'll get to the point where he made about the music world and how it's moved on and done with it. Elton John came out, and he was probably one of the first people to come out. And you realize one of the big stars, but he also got married to a woman at one time. So this thing that comes from your birth, it kind of kicks it into touch. But the other point I was going to make, I was talking to a friend of mine who met with the Rainbow Group up at Stormont, and she was a representative from the hospital.
Yeah, but Bill, I have to stop you there on Elton John. I have to stop you there. Bill, hold on. You just dismissed Elton John being married to a woman and later married to a man. You can be bisexual. Yeah. This is another element of life where people have been hiding in the shadows.
But then, where does it come then? We've got programs on TV saying about kids who are transgender that don't know what they are at 4 and 5 and 6 years of age, and people, their parents are accepting, let them dress the way they want. So, Frank, where do we stand? Do we let them guide them, or we just let everybody go and do what they want? I mean, society would fall apart if we accepted that everybody wanted to do their own thing, you know.
Are you serious, Bill? Are you serious? Did you see, let me ask you a question. Did you see the 12-year-old on, which program was it? Was it Britain's Got Talent the other night? The 12-year-old boy who wore very thick makeup, used lots of lipstick, talked about how he was living his life, and there would have been a considerable number of people watching TV who would have thought, oh, he doesn't play football, or he doesn't play rugby, and he doesn't dress in boys' clothes. You know, that belongs to the dark ages. Well, if a 12-year-old wants to wear makeup and lipstick and be, for the want of a better term, very feminine in his approach, is he not entitled to do it?
It probably is, Frank, but I think you used a couple of bad examples. We've got gay rugby players coming out, we've got gay footballers coming out and saying, I mean, probably not the example you should have used there. I mean,
it's the perfect example. It's the perfect example, Bill, because the stereotypical view of the big rugby player is the big male butch guy from the past where, oh, they're men, they're real men. Whereas today, absolutely right. Why can you not be a rugby player who is gay? Why can you not be a Premier League footballer who is gay? This is a journey that we're on. And as you say, you know, if we go down your line where you can't let everyone go their own way or there'd be mayhem, you let everyone go their own way. That's exactly what they should be able to do. They should be able to be themselves.
Frank, he's cutting me off here. Frank, if I can say something. Could I? Hello?
Yeah, fire away. But I'm going to challenge you. If you misrepresent me, I'm going to challenge you. But go ahead.
I accept that. I'll take that. But I hear you come from, and you've got boys who want to look like girls. But tell me this. As we said there, there's rugby players. Guys go about, and you wouldn't know they were gay by the way they present themselves and speak. But you've got young lads, and you've seen it in the shops and everything else. They're 15, 16, and they couldn't have any three girly voices coming on. And you're thinking, you have to speak like that to say you're gay? Is this what it's all about? You just don't want to look as if you're not male. You just want to sound female as well. And that's where it kind of catches up. Listen, let people be what they be. But don't try and tell people how to live and how to go about what they want to do. And the point I was going to make, Frankie, is, as I said, a friend of mine was a representative of Stormont, and one of the representatives had a go at her. She's a nurse and says, I visited my partner in hospital, and a woman kissed her husband goodnight and goodbye. Why could we not do it? And my friend turned and says, no one stopped you. But it was just another complaint, another we jump on the bandwagon and have another go because we can't get our own way. This is the problem with people, Frank. You know, people accept it, but see, when you start telling them we're going to live like this, you better accept us. We don't have to go. Let us live. That's the thing. Let people live. Let everybody do what they want to do. Of dropouts who live rough in the street, nobody criticizes them. So if you want to do that, do it. But don't try and tell us all how you should live.
But Bill, I don't think anyone's asking me to be gay or you to be gay. They're just asking for equality. They're asking to be treated as ordinary Joes and Josephines in the street. If they speak with a very effeminate voice, they speak with a very effeminate voice. They don't want someone judging them on whether or not they're putting on an accent. They're speaking as they speak. Just let them be.
No, they don't, Frank. No, they don't. From children that speak properly, and all of a sudden they get this wee teenage thing, and oh, I want to be a nice wee lad. Yeah, no, you see, that's thing, Frank, controversial. I'll say black, you'll say white. You know, and this is the way it's going to be on a radio show especially. But the point of making a first thing when I first come on is the guy jumped the gun and says, why was I unable to kiss my partner goodnight?
Just on that one, what is your example there? Just tell me that example again, but don't rush through it. What are you saying about the hospital?
I'm saying about the hospital. Say when they went, they had to meet the communities, the representatives of the communities at Stormont, and someone may come on and actually clarify this, that they made a point of visiting the hospital and why they couldn't kiss their partner in the ward goodnight when the wife could kiss the guy goodnight, her husband. It wasn't the case. And to say, the friend of mine turned around and says, no one told you not to. You didn't even have to ask. You kissed him, nobody batted an eyelid. You probably went, okay. But because they raised the question, and there was no question to raise, because there was nothing that happened in the ward.
Yeah, well, I do feel people would sense that there would be a lack of comfort around them, because someone like you might be watching, Bill, and you might be judging, and you might be passing comment on the fact that two males or two females kissed each other goodnight in the hospital. Can you not understand that they actually do feel uncomfortable?
Well, I was in the shopping centre a couple of months ago, and two young lads were walking hand in hand and kissing each other in Coneswater Shopping Centre, down in the middle of it with kids and all, and I went, here we go. Sure, let them lift. Yeah, that's right. Kids are looking at the two. There was two children on a wee machine, and then when we get raised and looked at them, and these three lads, about 18, 19, were standing kissing each other. And the kids looked confused as if, yeah, right, here we go. But sure, we'll accept it. Move on. What's next? What do we accept next?
All right, okay. Bill, your commentary is incredible, because those kids who are in Coneswater Shopping Centre, who are on the little merry-go-round, who saw two gay men express some form of love for each other, they're probably going to grow up better educated than you and I, Bill. That's the other way of looking at that. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning. Marie has a point she wants to make. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, I've never heard anybody speak so contradictory in a conversation as that last caller. I mean, it's just unbelievable. On the one hand, he's saying that people live and everybody's entitled, and yet he can't see his point of view that he's trying to put across, that he's just contradicting everything he said. But that's not why I was ringing up, Frank. I was ringing up just to say how shameful it is that, whether you agree with gays or not, how shameful it is that in the world the way it is today, with so much hatred, that people just can't celebrate love. Now, you don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with gay people, you know, but... and you don't have to watch it. And if you don't like the Eurovision and you don't want to watch it, then you're perfectly within your right not to watch it. But why vent such hatred about it? And why take other people's opinion? Like, for example, what you said, Frank, was somebody texted in and said, I'm turning your show off now because of your gay attitude in support of that. Well, I mean, you're as much entitled to that attitude as the guy who wants to turn you off. But, I mean... you're only, you know, I just can't understand why people just can't live with the love that people express. And in addition to that, if that guy, for example, doesn't want to watch Eurovision because he feels uncomfortable with it, well, he doesn't have to watch it. But why can't you just let people get on with it instead of venting so much hatred about it? I just can't understand it at all.
But that's certainly not the message coming from China, because China simply ban it, the length and breadth of the country. And there are people here in Northern Ireland who would feel that, you know, China has a point, that they don't want it in their homes. They don't want to see expressions of gay love in soap operas or indeed on Eurovision. And indeed, you know, Eurovision is a big family occasion. Loads of families have a party and watch it. And there are families in Northern Ireland, and I say sadly with capital letters, who will be uncomfortable.
I am absolutely having no problem with people can be uncomfortable, not just with gay stuff. There's a lot of other stuff people can be uncomfortable with, and everybody's entitled to vent their opinion on that. If they don't want to watch it and they're uncomfortable, don't watch it. But it's when they come to forcing that view onto everybody else, their view, I'm as much entitled to watch that and enjoy that and agree with that and support that love as the person who doesn't want to watch it and disagrees with it. But I'm not going to say to them, you should be watching that. I'm just saying, if you don't want to watch it, don't do it. That's your opinion. But when that opinion is forced onto someone else, that's the problem. And when the other person, I'm not going to force my opinion that I agree with it and I am not in any way uncomfortable with it. It's the same with people breastfeeding, everything, Frank. Everybody's entitled to their opinion on it. But keep your opinion to yourself. Don't take it out on everybody else.
Okay, Marie, thank you. I want to speak to Peter, who's on this line. Peter, your perspective on it, please.
Well, you're talking about China, Ban. You're talking about one of the most regulated countries on the planet. You know, the Chinese government regulate everything for their people. If you're born in the countryside, you have to live in the countryside. You can't move to the city. You know, they discriminate amongst their own people quite harshly as well. So for them as the ban, it's just, again, you know, it's one of those countries that just wants to tell their people how they should live. That's not freedom. That's not living freedom. You know, the gay community here, you know, every year they have the Gay Pride Parade, and each and every year it gets bigger and bigger, and we're talking not just the numbers of gay and gay LGBT, it's the number of people coming down to support them and enjoy the celebrations, because in most cases they're connected with their cousin, it's a friend in school, whatever. And, you know, I mean, the thing just grows bigger and bigger with support, and people's attitudes changes. At the end of the day, we're talking about human beings just living their natural life and doing what's natural to them, and nothing that is going to cause any physical harm to anyone else. You know, there should be the freedom there to just live like any other human being. My own son is gay. Thankfully, through my job, I was able to meet a great number of different walks of life, you know, trans people and so forth. So whenever he had his, you know, was going through puberty and had his questions, I was able to have the answers for him and understand and be able to put things in perspective. So, you know, we always say when, you know, people ask him what it was like for him coming out of the closet, and he says, well, there wasn't even any doors on it when I came out. You know, it wasn't an issue. And that's the way it should be. You know, it's absolutely farcical that some people have these, you know, opinions that are so outdated and so wrong, because at the end of the day, they don't know what the future is going to bring. If they're going to have this negative opinion against the gay community, they don't know what their grandchildren are going to be.
Yeah, but Peter, you make a strong point there that your son had no doors on his closet, and I want to speak to you about that, because I do want to ask you a question about that. Just stay with me, and I'll talk to you in a second. Peter, thank you for staying with me. The reason I want to ask you this specific question is you touched on having a gay son, and when he was coming out, he said to you that thankfully in our family the closet doesn't have any doors. So he got support from you, as you've suggested. But how difficult must it be for some young gay people in Northern Ireland who may have a family that's very wed to the church, or who may have a family that's very wed to, say, a particular political party that doesn't accept gay people, or basically has policies that would see gay people as not being equal? How difficult is it for those young people to come out, to even open the doors of the closet? A lot of people would still be living in denial here today in 2018.
Sadly, that's true. I've come across one young lady whose mother is quite the devout Christian, so she has to be a different person when she goes home. She can be herself when she's down at, you know, our home and out with friends, you know, and things like that, but at home she has to be a different person.
That is incredibly sad, isn't it?
It's sad. I could break my heart, and I've even you know, being said that, like, if it gets real bad or she finds out and things go wrong, because, you know, her thoughts are, if her mum ever finds out, that's it, she's going to be disowned and thrown out of the house. And says, well, you know, there's always a room here, you'll not be stuck. I wouldn't see anybody stuck. But I've come across in the past guys who lived the life, got married, had children, because that's what was expected of them. And then 12 years into the marriage, they just couldn't cope with it anymore and, you know, came out. And, of course, that affects everybody. I've come across an older man who travels from outside Belfast to Belfast. He's married, children, grandchild, and he comes to Belfast every so often to mix in with the gay community, but he knows he can never come out. I know of another man who lived his entire life, married, children, grandchildren, and it wasn't until his wife passed away that he was then in a position where he could be who he actually wanted to be, and that was transsexual, and had the operations to become a woman. And he had to wait till he was pension age to do that.
These are
the stories of our society, and it's so, you know, for some, yes, finally, it's that being the person they always should have been, and that, you know, I mean, you can imagine living your life, acting your life through, and not being able to be the person you are inside. And, you know, for me, I was hearing so many stories about these young teenagers attempting to take their own lives, self-harming. You know, it's very easy to see. I sort of seen a person and a friend of mine, their child, and I could just see all the self-harm, and I just had a strong instinct as to what it was about, and reached out to her and spoke to her and, you know, said how open our family were about everything. And, you know, it was a couple of months later that she says, well, yes, my daughter actually wants to be my son. And we've just been dealing with it all, and I just couldn't say anything at the time. And it's only sort of now that it's all sort of come out. And I says, well, is he now happy living the life that he wants to live? And she says, yeah, totally different person.
Peter,
being very depressed, very inward, to becoming very more outgoing, wanting to take up hobbies and interests. And, you know, it's so frustrating in this country to have so many, all right, be it more of a minority these days, that have that level of hatred. And thankfully, the majority's getting bigger and bigger, and society's moving forward to where it should be.
Peter, thank you very much indeed. It's a really interesting commentary, considering your own son is someone who came out, as you say, through the doors that weren't on the closet. And I like that analogy. Peter, thank you.